I'd like to look at a verse in Proverbs, the 11th chapter of Proverbs, and in the 29th verse, says, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart." I'd like to deal with the first part of that scripture a little while. He that troubleth. I think the idea of that word troubleth means kind of like ripple on the water, stirring up the water, causing trouble. He that troubleth his own house. House here is not just talking about a framed up building, but the idea of the passage is that his family. But it's more than that. It's hard to say what just a family is sometimes. But it doesn't indicate what it is. It could be a wife only. It could be children only. It could be wife and children. I think it's more talking about his whole world, his whole habitation. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. So tonight I'd like the Lord to help us to think about this, inherit the wind. Inherit means that it's what you got coming to you. This is what you've got to it. You know, the scripture is full of wisdom. It's full of wisdom in the sense that it teaches us, if we'll listen and obey and pay attention, it teaches us that if we do something, we can expect something. It is the idea of reaping what you sow. It's a true statement that will always be true. We reap what we sow. And in that idea, it's always the same thing, but it's always more. It's always increased by it. You don't expect to plant one grain of corn and only get one grain back. If that's all that happened, you can just go ahead and eat the grain and be satisfied. But there's supposed to be an increase in it, and so that it is. And the scripture is full of the wisdoms that teaches us about the choices that we make. But I want to tell you something about choices that you make. It would be really nice if all the choices were just really clear cut. You know what I mean? if I choose this, it's bad. If I choose this, it's good. It's rarely like that. It becomes much more complex than that. When the choices that we make. I had to make a choice recently about my vehicle. I looked at the vehicle that I had and said, it's not worth very much, but it's going to take this much to fix it. But if I put that much into fixing it, and it's only worth just a little bit more than I put in it to fix it, then if that don't work or it tears up beyond that, it's a waste of what I put in. I wish choices were a little clearer than that. But choices rarely are. It's rarely that clear cut. In the scriptures, it's the same way too. Think about the people of the Old Testament that worshipped idols. We like to say, that was ridiculous. That's ridiculous to worship idols. There's nothing to idols. I mean, think of how ridiculous this is. They go out and cut a tree down. They cut it down. They carve it. They overlay it. They make it into something that they want it to be. Then they act like it's got power that if it does, they had to put it in it. Yes, it seems really clear cut that don't work. Amen. But there's a lot more to decisions and choices than that. The fact that your whole family may be involved in it, and if you go against that, you go against your whole family, has part to do with the way you make your choices. And other things involved in it too. If I don't do this, then what does this other mean? And if I serve the Lord, what does that mean? Well, I mean, the Lord's a wonderful God, and He's out for our good, and we all know that. But the truth about serving God is there's restrictions about physical life. There just is limitations on us. God puts limitations on us for our own good to make a better life for us. And when you make, it would be nice if it's clear, but it's not. But here's another one. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. This idea of the wind is pretty simple to understand. In one sense, it basically means you don't get anything. I mean, you inherit what you deserve. You get what you deserve. Nothing. I mean, if you could say you got the wind and it was a part of your inheritance, what can you do with the wind? It's really hard to control. It really is hard to do anything with. I mean, I've had a little bit of a complaint about the wind all my life. When I go out fishing, it's a blowing. It's a blowing the line out of the water. It's not good to have. In Oklahoma, you all know what I'm talking about. Because out there, the wind blows. And now, right now, we'd say, wind blow. It's just as still as it can be up here right now. Well, if I could control it, I'd have it blowing through here about like Oklahoma blows. But it isn't like it's uncontrollable. I want to fly a kite, the wind dies and it falls. I want to do something, it takes it, the wind's blowing. It's hard to control the wind. There's nothing much you can get out of it. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. There's nothing to it. And so we have to ask the question, what does it mean? What does it really mean? You know, the world is chasing after things. And I want us to be encouraged tonight that I know in my heart that God is really the only answers to life. I know that living for God, serving God, raising your children to serve God, us uniting the church, that is really what's going to be the reward. And anything else other than that is going to be inherent in the wind. Do you realize that you can be successful today? This isn't talking about people that's necessarily not successful. You can be successful in this world and inherit the wind. Because it's troubling. It troubles the home. To give our those around us the idea that the world is the answer to problems. It's not the answer to problems. To pursue the world, the ways of the world. This is what this is really talking about. To pursue those kind of things. It's like someone that inherit that we're going to get something. Listen, we're going to get something out of our life. And to think that we live our life. I mean, I don't like to go out in the day and have these things that I'm going to do. And come back and then not be done. And come back and be empty at the end and say, I spent all day trying and doing. All these things, and at the end of it, I'm empty. I didn't get anything done. I don't like that. I don't like the thought that I'm living my life. My life is going on. Another monarch's here. I'm living my life, and I'm accomplishing nothing. Nothing. Empty. Just got the wind. All I got. That's a sad state. I'm getting older and older. Is all that I can end up with at the end of it is nothing? Lord, help us. There's something more to gain. I heard recently on the news, and probably y'all have heard him, he was a sports figure named Tiger Woods. You ever hear of Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods was a very accomplished golfer. He was very talented. He seemed very respectful. He was endorsed. He made millions and millions of dollars just on endorsements. The man was very, very, he made millions and millions and millions on golfing. He was a very, very successful man. But if you know the story of him, he troubled his own house. Golf is a very unique game in the sense of it's what I understand about it. If anybody ever tried to hit a golf ball straight, it really takes something to do that. It takes a lot of mental concentration to do it right. He done it right. But you know, after he had that little deal with his wife, experts that said with that little run-in, if you'll remember what happened there and all, I think she clubbed him with a 9-iron or broke. I mean, they had a row going on in there. And you know what happened? Experts said he's been the best. There's nobody that's been better than him. He's been the greatest. But he won't overcome this. These kind of things are almost never overcome them. He never overcome that. He trouble in his own house. And he started reaping nothing. Nothing else ever come. Nothing else ever worked. You know, the best thing that you and I can do is serve God. I know I'm telling us the obvious, folks, but listen. I want to instill it in all of us. If you're in that place of decision and it's not a clear-cut decision, you don't know what... I want to tell you what the end of not serving God is. It's inheriting the wind. You may be successful. You may pile up money in the bank, but what you'll have in your soul at the end is emptiness and vanity. You won't have anything in there that's worth anything. You won't have the love and respect of those that are around you. You've accomplished nothing at the end of life. I had a message at home recently about growing old. This just a couple days ago was my 55th birthday. So I'm thinking more and more. And my body's telling me more and more about getting old. And the idea of my message was, what do you think if God gives you the privilege of being an older person? I'm getting there, but there's some here older than me. But you have the privilege of doing that. What kind of older person do you think you'll be? You'll probably be about like you are now. I mean, honestly, if the idea is I'm going to wait till I'm 80 years old, and then I'm going to be a sweet old man. Right? I'll wait till I'm 80 years old before I ever get started taking care of things. I'll wait till I'm old, and then I'll decide I'm going to be cantankerous. I'm going to be hard to get along with. I'm going to be hard to take. And all of a sudden, somebody's going to have to take care of me, and I'm going to be real sweet to them. It don't work that way. We need to start taking care of it now. Because if we don't, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We're going to have an inheritance. We're going to get something from it. It's going to be the wind. Now, this word wind has more to it than just emptiness or nothing, vanity. It actually has, the actual word actually has the idea of a strong wind. Which we know around here, you well know, that it can tear up some stuff. There's nothing positive. I mean, there's windmills and stuff around, but even windmills that's turning turbines and it's making electricity and stuff, they need a good steady thing to move. They don't need a tornado coming through. Tornadoes aren't beneficial anyway. This is what this word is talking about too. It's talking about a very strong, disruptive noise. It's noisy, it's troublesome, and it's your inheritance. It's what you'll naturally get from living a life where you disturb your own house, where you disturb your own world around you. So, Lord, help us tonight. You know, we're not to take a worrisome or anxious thought. The Bible teaches us to not worry trouble that we don't need to have. But the Bible also teaches us that if we live, there'll be a tomorrow. And that what we sow today will reap tomorrow. And it is one of the most profound things, it's one of the most true things that anybody looking on can see, that we ought to all take note of, because the problem a lot of times is getting started on this. We say we need to, right? We say we ought to. We know that there's a progress involved here. But getting started and going down that road sometimes is a harder thing to do. Making decisions that are actually going to change what the outcome's going to be is a harder thing to get done. But he that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind. There's going to be a destructive. It may not come tomorrow, but it's on its way tomorrow. It's coming tomorrow in all of our lives. So Lord, help us what we're doing now, what we're building in God in us. If you're not building in God, it's all going to be obvious. And if you're dallying around or toying around, it's going to be obvious. At the end of it, there's going to be something that's going to tell the tale of every one of our lives. Every one of it is going to be that. I know that, and we use, and I've used this at home, but I know we use the idea that we was a child and somebody took care of us once, and if we live long enough, we'll be a child again. And I buy that. I honestly buy that. I believe there's a time that we're not responsible. I've seen it. I believe it. But don't count on that. I've seen people that get old and was in their right mind and responsibility all the way, and they was cantankerous and ornery and hateful. And they got that way, or they stayed that way through a lifetime of opportunity. A whole lifetime. I mean, Lord help me, I've been on this planet for 55 years to turn around and say, I ain't got a thing. I'm empty. Nothing. It's a shame. But there's got to be a place to start. If you're here tonight and you're 55, then 55 is where you start. And if you're here as a young person, I want to tell you, you've got a great benefit tonight. You young people's got a great benefit. Start off right. Get it going right. Lord, help us. There's people who will get their minds on these lotteries. I seen one the other day. 260-some million dollar Powerball. That'll solve my problems, brother. Right there. Woo, my family, I'm sure. I mean, you know how children are. They probably say, bring it on. 260-something. It went up so much as over 500 million. Now, that's a half billion, right? Am I right? 1,000 millions is a billion, right? I mean, mathematics we got going on. I mean, this is beyond rich. This is by an island type rich. This is your own, this is your own country type rich to me. I mean, this is money. People are looking at that and assuming that this is the answer to problems, right? If I can get enough money or get out of the situation, I want to tell you something about money. It's a good thing. Try without it. I mean, to a certain point, give me neither riches nor poverty, but that which is convenient for me. I mean, it takes some money to have things. I mean, it does, and it always has. And there's nothing wrong with it in itself. But to this idea of getting this wealth, of this gain, or all this, I'm going to tell you, you would do nothing but trouble your house with it. It's been proven over and over and over again. Whether you get it, even in your greatest industry of getting it, if it's what you put your focus on and what you drive for, you'll trouble your home with that. You'll trouble your house with it to the point that there'll be some wind to inherit. Because you can't do it to that kind of degree and keep God in the right focus. And keep the right things where they ought to be. The best thing that we can do. Oh, the world is full of telling us how to live. The world's chasing things. The entertainments of this world, for the most part, are trash. I mean, that's just true. They're developed by ungodly people. They're sensual. They're devilish. It's just the truth. And yet, they're pursued after in the pursuit of happiness. And many people don't realize that they're troubling their own house. And at the end, and they find out that there's marriage and divorces. And we were just talking yesterday about a situation to where somebody, this girl, she has a real mom and a real dad. And she has a stepdad and two stepmoms and a step this and a stepbrother and a step this and a step so over there. And so much and now they're going to have a get together. And it's all, you trouble your own house. It becomes destructive. One generation follows the other. Folks, listen. What you do in your life is what most of the time your children's going to follow. A lot of wind to inherit. Over in Ecclesiastes, listen to what the wise man says in Ecclesiastes. In the second chapter, he said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them and all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the particular treasure of kings and of the province. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them, and withhold not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of my labor. Now, I want to tell you, here was a guy that chased after it, didn't he? Now, he wanted to know what it was about. And so he goes and does it all. Would you like to have a better house to live in? Do you like a finer one? Well, how about just deciding I'm going to build me a whole row of them? I'm going to build me one in every, instead of having to travel any distance at all, I'll just go a little ways and stay in another house. And then I'll go another mile and go to another house. Got the means to do it. I'm just going to build me houses and of all kinds. I'm going to do it everywhere. And then I'm going to plant. Why go hungry? I'm going to plant food everywhere. Every house will have a vineyard. Every place will have something to do it, and I'm going to do that. Well, it's a dry land, so what? I'll build me some lakes. That's what you need. You need some lakes. Get tired and go swimming in them. Or water. Hey, I'm going to plant me some trees. I'm going to plant some groves of trees, and they need water, so I'm going to irrigate them with my ponds. I got this thing going. What? The guy seemed like he was talented in it. He had it all going, done all that. And that's not enough, because without people around to show it off to, so I'm going to get people around me. We'll get maids and these things, and we'll have people wait on me. People that are talented with music, I'll get them to sing for me. I'll have it around. Surely, if that's what it's about, I'll find it. And then I can sit and say, I found it. And everyone that wants to find it needs to do what I done. Well, he sought for it. And what his eyes beheld, he withheld it not. Hey, that looks good. Hey, that's mine. I am king, by the way. That's mine. But put that in the tray. Silver, gold, how much does it take? You know, it's pretty neat to have some gold, I think. I think about it sometimes. I don't have no gold. But if I had some, I think it's pretty neat. Maybe jingle it together a little bit. Well, the Bible says not to wear it. Don't say you can't have it in your pocket. Well, we'll jingle it together. Got me some gold. Gold has been coveted for years, centuries. Everybody wanted gold. Be nice to have some gold in there. You can rub it together and make yourself feel. You know, that wouldn't keep you from getting sick. It wouldn't keep your family from being disrupted. It wouldn't change the devil from coming in. That gold, well, you can rub it around in your hand and feel good because you got some buying power. Well, I better get some silver too. I'll get some silver, get some gold. I can make myself. You know, there's been people that's tried to secure themselves, folks, with riches. With riches. And taught it down. I think there's wisdom. I think all of us ought to be good stewards of God's thing. I do. I think we ought to be. I don't think we ought to be frivolous. I don't think we ought to throw. I don't think we ought to waste. I think we ought to be good servants to Jesus. That's what I think. But I also think that it's for the using. I don't think that it's got any more worth to it than what it's got buying power to buy. Because it won't, folks, listen, it won't keep you from getting sick. It won't drive away cancer from you. It won't help the things that go wrong in life. They happen anyway. The stress and the striving of life, it happens anyway. So he got all this stuff, but when he looked at gold, got going to get all the gold and had this great increase and never withheld anything from him. Then he looked on all the works of his hands. All this was, he said then in the 11th verse, he said, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. I've done all of this and inherited the wind. All I got inside me was emptiness. I got great responsibilities now. I got all these things to wonder about, worry about. I wonder what country's going to try to come and take it. I wonder what's going to happen to it. I looked around and looked at all that I had done and said, it's all vanity. After all that I've done, I find out that it's vanity. All the years, folks, that we can live and do. I want to warn us about something. It's already been said. We appreciate all this. But the scripture says of the things that you can see are temporal. It's the things that you don't see which are eternal. And we start dealing with the eternal. We can appreciate this. I mean, if a storm comes, this will be wonderful. Be under. It's bad having the place to do it. But folks, we all know this. This is no new thing. There's something more than that. Because you know what's wonderful? When I come, I'm going to tell you, when I come among the saints, I found something that I said from that time, this is wonderful. I'm going to tell you what it was. Where I was at before, I knew these two preachers, they was co-pastors of a congregation, a little congregation I used to go to. And they were like this. Seemed like they were like this. Well, the conference of this group got one of them and sent him up the road a ways to another church. Well, I'm there one day visiting with him, and I know he lived right across the road from where his brother pastor was pastoring. I mean, within, well, not a rock throw, but I could throw a rock twice and hit it from his house. That's how close he was. And I asked him, I said, well, how's he doing over there? He said, I don't know. And I said, he's having service, sir. He's having service right there. And he said, I don't go to church there. It was like if you're moved off, then it's all gone. You know what I love about the saints? In my mind this morning, as the canoeing was going on, I had this vision in my mind. I had a vision of a big wind coming and blowing us all away. I know you don't like that, what my vision was. And in my vision, though, I saw all the saints sitting around here without it, praising the Lord. And I said, that's who we are. Right there is what matters. What matters is that God has blessed us. And I said that when I found the saints. Thank the Lord for this. That Brother Tony was part of that. And Brother Tony will always be Brother Tony. As long as Brother Tony's there, that's Brother Tony. Because that's what God put in us. Brother Manson, Sister Shirley, there's a part of my life. They moved off to Oregon, all the way across the country from West Virginia. And you know what they were? Brother Manson and Sister Shirley. And they've been friends to us. They've been my brother and sister ever since then. And we can't move away from it. That's an inheritance, folks. That's an inheritance that's worth something. And when we trouble that, Lord, help us not to stir water, stir it up in that. To trouble that is to inherit emptiness. And inherit nothing. He looks at his works. He looks at all we do. We all want things done, right? I mean, we have things that we do. I got some blueberry bushes at the house. I wish we'd grow. I really wish they'd grow. I fool with them that they grow. They're growing a little bit. I hope they grow more. I have some passions with some other things. But that ain't to get into the way of anything else. That ain't to get into the way of the things of God. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, I was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun, none. Oh, Lord, help us. I want to warn us about something. You can sit right here year after year, year after year, and be a grumpy old man when you turn 80. You can. It don't have to work. It works. But it don't have. Well, for you ladies, you'll probably never be a grumpy old man. But I've seen some grumpy old women too. I've seen. But to get the rights, Lord, help us. I'm supposed to have some increase. I'm supposed to have some increase from one year to the next. I'm supposed to get more than I had before. I'm supposed to increase in these things. Lord, help us that it's not just be a gathering. that it's not just be a regular thing that we do. I hope that it is. But that it's more. And not only that, this should be a place that we collectively come together. But 10 days a year is not going to save you. That would be a pretty easy way of doing it. But with 10 days, I'll go be a real spiritual monarch. And that's the whole cup right there. Don't work that way. It don't work that way at all. I've seen vanity. I've had days that I got through with and said nothing. Nothing was accomplished. I've had days where I've had lists before. This list. I got to do something with the vehicle. Go and do it. Find out I don't have the right tools. Put it off for the next day. Then I'm going to cut some wood or something. Can't get my chainsaw running. I can go through the whole day and at the end of the day say, what a wasted day. And I'm talking physically. What a wasted day. I didn't accomplish anything. I got nothing out of it. Now what this scripture is talking about is the blessings of God that He puts in our lives through other people, through our families, through our neighbors, through our congregations. There is the blessings of God in our lives. You know, a big family can be a blessing. I'm going to say that again in a different way. A big family can be a blessing. A big family ought to be a blessing. But it's not always. Sometimes it's an upheaval. It's what you do with it. I've seen big families that was a disaster. I've seen big groups of people say, the more the better. Let's get in a big bunch. Let's get in the more the merrier. Of course. But bigger don't make you better. Does it? Because we get the right people in here and get the right bands up here and get the right advertisements, this thing wouldn't be half big enough. That ain't what we're after. Because the end of that is like inheriting the wind. You end up with all the bangs and the booms, but at the end of it, when it comes down to your soul, you don't have nothing in your soul. I've wasted my years going to Monarch. I've wasted my years doing the things. What an awful testimony. I've wasted countless revivals and meetings and went and done the... I played the games. I went apart. I've done the things and come away with an empty soul. What a shame. Listen more to what he says. And I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom exceedeth folly, as far as light exceedeth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happened to them all. Wow. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to fools, it happened to me. Wait a minute. He says, I'm the wise man. And I've done everything in the pursuit of wisdom. I've done it all in wisdom. And certain things happens to fools, and I turned around. And it happened to the wise man. And now he's scratching his head and saying, what's the definition of words? If a wise man's a fool, and a fool is the same as a wise man, then what's the answer to all this? One event happened to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. It's wise to go to Monarch. It's wise. You know, I'm just gonna say it. It was Levi and Lindsay's wedding. We was at home, and the day or so before their wedding, And somebody says, oh, they're getting married. I'm in West Virginia, and they're getting married in Guthrie, 1,200 miles. And listen, we travel a lot, so traveling just easily for anything but a meeting is harder for us to do because of all the traveling we do. And we're sitting there, and somebody said something like, oh, they'd love to be at that wedding. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, they're precious or something like that. And I said, well, we could go if we wanted to. Did I say that? I mean, I'm on my way to Guthrie. We packed up and took off, and I'm on my way to Guthrie. I'm in the van, and I'm driving, and I'm saying, what did I just do? How did this happen? And I said to Linda, oh, honey, we're going to Guthrie. I mean, it's a trip. It's long ways. We're traveling. And she said, it's a good investment. It was a good investment. I've got children. I got young people. It's a good investment to have them with the saints. The miles wasn't too many and the cost wasn't too much. And the reason is, it calms my heart. It gives hope. There will be a benefit, folks, for what we do. There will be a benefit to what we do. The wise man looked and said, in all of his wisdom, he pursued the world like a fool. That's what he said in that passage. I pursued the world like a fool, thinking that there was something in the world that was going to do something for me because I had the ability above a fool. There's very few rich fools. I've got the capacity to chase it better than any fool ever did. And I got the way to see it, but when he got through doing it, he found out that he, in all that, he had chased the world like a fool. Folks, this world is to use. This world is to have, be blessed with. This world is what God gives us as we use. But there is no substitute for having the Lord in your life. There is no substitute for doing the things of God. You can't get it anywhere else. And I'm going to tell you what it does. It makes us inherit a blessing. We inherit the favor of God. We inherit the peace of God in our lives. We have an inheritance, folks. We have an inheritance that will be good for each and every one of us. I had the opportunity one time to meet a guy. I told this story many times, so you bear with me. But I met a guy in the hospital in the University of Virginia. He was from West Virginia, so when the nurses met him and knew me, they wanted me to meet this guy that was from West Virginia. He was a carefree type guy. He was a kind of a jokester. I don't know why they wanted us to be together, but necessarily. I don't consider myself all what he was. But we were lighthearted. And they said, well, you got to meet this guy. I met him and instantly clicked with him. Some point in the conversation, I say to him, so what's going on? Nah, he said, the cancer's back. He said, I beat it before, I'll beat it again. No more sad. But Tom told a different story. And all of what he ever done in his life couldn't change it. He had a terminal disease on him. He had hope of beating it. He wasn't beating it. The doctors didn't say he would beat it. They said that he would contend. That he had an expectancy. That's all that they said. He said he would beat it. He was convinced that he would, and it went on. As time went on, it started beating him. He was a fisherman. He loved to fish. His greatest joy in life was fishing. He worked to fish. He loved to get out on the lake on his boat. He loved to get his grandchild out there. He loved to cast that lake. Oh, we talked fishing and fishing and fishing. But I went in there the day that everyone in the hall, that there was nurses in the hall, his family's in the hall, they're all weeping and crying. And I asked one of the nurses what's going on. I said the doctors had to tell him, there's nothing more that you could go do, and it's a matter of days. I went and prayed, folks. Listen, I prayed as hard as I've ever prayed. Lord, give me something to give this man. Yeah. We had got fairly close. I felt like I could talk to him. I said, give me something. I prayed earnestly that the Lord would give me something to break through, to be able to say something. I went in there to his room, just me and him sitting there. He laid looking into the ceiling, and nothing I could say could take the stare off of him. He looked with a bitter look into the ceiling, and there was nothing else there. And I sat there as I tried. Nothing touched. Nothing worked. And I thought of fishing. How many times somebody calls on their God, it don't work anymore. Fishing worked. It kept him happy. It kept him thrilled. It's what he done. One more catch. One more catch. If I could have one more catch. You get to the place that one more catch isn't it anymore. It's not going to bring the comfort, the peace. You can go to the great sports arenas and cheer and hoop and holler and get great thrill out of it. And people do by the multi-thousands. But there comes a day that your team winning doesn't matter. You know what it is? It's your time to inherit the wind. This man laying on his bed, at his last moments, he got his inheritance. The wind. I've seen the saints die. And they ain't inheriting the wind either. They got something to hold on to. They got something that works down at the end of it. Folks, we're all headed that way. We're all getting older. We're going to have to prepare for that. And I want to tell you, the best time to prepare for it is now. Amen. Young people, the best time to be a sweet old man, sweet old woman, now start dealing with it. Become sweet now. Have the right spirit now. Nourish that all your life. Have the Lord to help you all your life. Hey, listen, a lot of things come in life to embitter us, don't they? To make you bitter. You can get bitter. We all know what that is. You can get bitter. But it'll just get bitterer and bitterer and bitterer. And then there'll be a day where you'll lay flat on your back and get your inheritance. It'll be the wind. Nothing tangible. Nothing that you can hold on to. Nothing that works. Lord, help us. There has been people after people. I've heard a story that touched me. It was Brother Carl used to talk about before he was saved. He had a king. King Elvis. Elvis Presley, the king. Very famous man. There's a story told about him up home of someone that seemed to know. Said that he had a concert one time in London, I believe it was. And in that concert, after the concert, they had a big party. And after the party was over, or when the party was going on, all of a sudden Elvis comes in. Everybody's in there drinking and partying and doing that. And Elvis comes in and stops everybody and says, is there anybody here know any scriptures? Now you can imagine that scene. They go, oh, Elvis, I mean, come on, what is this? What do you think was in him to do that? Well, he was a multi-millionaire. He was one of the most famous people on the planet. You mean he wasn't fulfilled? Folks, come on. How could you not be fulfilled being Elvis Presley? Because you got a soul that's dried up like a prune. That's why. You got guilt and heartaches and bitternesses and all that thing inside. That's why. And that's what everyone... He's no different than anybody else. He made a lot of money, become famous. But inside him was a soul just like ours. Nobody's any better or different or stronger. He just inherited... Folks, listen. You know what's going on? He was inheriting the wind. He had sowed his life. He had lived his life. He had disrupted his house. And he was getting his inheritance. What it was doing. And it was the wind. Vanity and vexation of spirit. Nothing valuable. I want to encourage us tonight. Get something that's valuable. Get something that's valuable tonight. It won't bring big riches. It won't bring fame. Those things that it won't bring. But it'll bring riches untold. It'll bring a value to you that'll endure the ages. It's worth it all the way through.